The book of Revelation, lesson number one. How did Jesus say we'd know when the world is ending? Have you noticed the news this week? Those tornadoes? Have you noticed the tornadoes? Some must have hit some of your areas you live. I mean, there were horrible, some of the most devastating tornadoes in history. Do you know what they found out? America has the worst weather in all the countries of the world just because of geographically where we are. The polar vortex comes down, the warm Gulf air comes up. We've got both oceans, you know, kind of bracketing our country. And that combination of ocean, Arctic, and warm, moist, you know, the humid air coming up makes a cauldron for the most powerful weather. But we'll see in a minute, that's only one of the things the Lord says is how we know about the end of the world. Jesus actually gave us a map of the future. Before we go to Revelation, I have to answer for you why we would even believe in prophecy, why we would even believe that the world is going to end, why we wouldn't join the guy from Star Trek, what's his name, Shatner. You all know? Is that too old? Do you know the original Star Trek? Yeah. Yeah, William Shatner, the original Star Trek before all these other iterations. He's 91 years old. When I was your age, he was really young, and he was doing Star Trek, the original. They were coming out week by week. Do you know what he just said? He said, the current generation is four-letter word, you know, that really bad four-letter word. They're doing that to the world. They're effing the world, as he put it. And I thought, what are you talking about? He said, this world is what our mother that keeps us alive. And if you don't have this mother keeping you alive, you have nothing. And I thought, do you know what Mr. Star Trek is saying? He's an earth worshiper. He believes that the earth is all there is and our life is tied to it. And he has no concept of the hymn that's come from the scriptures that says, this world is not my home. I'm just passing through. Now, for you, you have to make a decision because you're living in a generation that thinks this earth is all there is. And they're living like that. They're building their life on it. They're building their job choices, their time investment on this world is all there is, and I've got to get as much of it as possible because I'm only here once and, you know, seize the day. Well, Jesus actually gave us a map of God's future. He introduced it in Matthew 6. How many of you know the Lord's Prayer? Our Father which art in heaven. You all know that? And if I start it, you could finish it. Do you know what it says in there? Thy kingdom come. You know that, right? Because you've all quoted that prayer. When Jesus said that, he was introducing what the whole Bible's written about. A kingdom is coming where Jesus Christ is going to actually be standing in a body on earth, ruling this whole planet. Isn't that unbelievable? That happens after the second coming. So the disciples got very interested in that. And so Jesus started explaining it, and he outlined the whole thing in Matthew 24. Matthew 24 and 25 is Jesus' longest sermon about the future. And he gives two big chapters on it. But then one of the disciples that's sitting there watching all this and listening to all that gets to be the last disciple alive, and he's in exile, and Jesus comes to him and illustrates the future. That's what the book of Revelation is. It's kind of like the National Geographic. When I was little, I read every National Geographic. In fact, I started reading them when I was like 2 years old before I could read. Why? Because it was mostly what? Pictures, illustrations of everything from butterflies to banana trees, I mean, and balloons and everything in between. And I love the illustration of the world. You want to know about the future? The picture book is what we're studying this week. And this is basically what Jesus said. There are trends for the end of the world. Starting in Matthew 24, verse 8, and then on into verse 33 and 34, he talks about what the world looks like. Now, think about this. The whole way that we see the book of Revelation is Jesus returning and describing for us what the earth looks like as he comes back. That's how we can tell what the end of the world looks like. Now, just look at those verses. All of these are the beginning of sorrows. And he lists off, you know, the wars and rumors of wars and plagues and famines and pestilence. So also when you see, now look at this, all of these things. Did you know there's never been a generation in history that saw them all until your generation? You say, all what? Well, how about this one? It says in Revelation 11 that when a certain event happens, the two witnesses are killed by the Antichrist. Do you know what it says? You know what God said? The whole world will see that event. Let me ask you, how many events did the whole world see? I don't think the whole world saw every event until we get to maybe the coronation of Queen Elizabeth, but even then it wasn't the whole world. It was like a billion people, and they thought that was huge. Why? Because there was not yet invented until 1953 what we call television. Most people don't say that. They say TV. And most people don't even say TV anymore. They're on their phone, you know. But the Bible talked about the whole world seeing things. And that was impossible till 1953 when television started being broadcast internationally. Then Jesus went on to say in verse 34, "Assuredly I say unto you, this generation will by no means pass away till all these things take place." I'm glad I'm not teaching Matthew. I see it's on your schedule, so I don't have to explain how long a generation is and which generation he's talking about. But basically, Jesus said there's going to be a collection of things, and when someone sees all of them, the generation that does is going to be the terminal generation. What are those trends? Well, basically, Jesus describes in Matthew birth pain characteristics. What's a birth pain? You know, Jonathan said, I have 8 wonderful children. Actually, we have 9. We lost one. We lost one in the 80s and died prematurely. And I used to always introduce that event to people, and I say, well, we have one already in heaven, and the rest we're really praying for, you know, because they were born sinners. But I've watched a lot of births. A birth is an event in a woman's life that is unforgettable and gets more so because it totally captivates her body, her mind, her emotions, all of her nerves. Everything is affected by that, those contractions. Well, the birth pain characteristics of the end are they're going to be more and more visible. If you read the news, everyone's talking about the number of F-level tornadoes last week. F1, F2, F3, F4, F5 is the biggest. There were dozens of F1s, 2s, and 3s, and 4s. And they said it's unprecedented. I mean, 600 people in one tornado go to the hospital in Little Rock, Arkansas. Greater visibility. What I'm saying about that is everybody's aware of it. Greater frequency. I mean, things are happening so fast, your generation doesn't notice it. Our generation does because it wasn't that fast in our time. I mean, there was an earthquake here. I mean, there was an earthquake in 64 that got the world's attention. There wasn't another earthquake until like 79 that got the world's attention. Now we're having earthquakes. Did you see Antioch? Antioch in Turkey's gone. Unbelievable, that earthquake just 2 months ago. Greater intensity, greater impact. So Jesus said, you'll know it's the end when you see more frequently, more intensely, more powerfully impactful events. Now, look at this. This is why I went to Matthew. Matthew 24 is called the Olivet Discourse. It's also repeated in Mark 13 and Luke 21. But the events Jesus talks about in that message in Matthew exactly parallel the events in Revelation. That's why I said John just is the illustration of all those things. What are some of the end-of-the-world trends that I'm going to show you in the next few moments? We have 36 moments or minutes until we're gone. Well, the end-of-the-world trends are global diseases, and they're going to get more lethal. Have global diseases affected your life or anybody around you lately? Uh-huh. Since 2019, it affected everything, didn't it? I mean, a global disease, COVID-19, all of a sudden all of us have become epidemiologists. We all know all about the COVID variants. The thing God says is those diseases are going to get more lethal. How the doctors in the World Health Organizations and the CDCs of the world, how they look at things is the lethality. How deadly. Now, I just got back. I was teaching down in Florida. Not Revelation. I'm going back there right after you guys to do that. But I was teaching the 52 greatest chapters of the Bible down there at the Bible Institute in Florida. Guess what was in the news while I was there? Some fella squirts water. He goes to his bathroom. He puts water in this little thing. He squirts it up his nose, kind of does a saline nasal irrigation. And it killed him in Florida, in Fort Myers. That's just below Tampa, and the Word of Life campus is just above Tampa. So within an hour's drive of the Word of Life Florida campus, a man takes water out of the tap, squirts it up his nose, and it kills him. Did you know that happens all the time all over the world? That disease is very lethal. Only 3% of people that up their nose survive, okay? So be careful about Fort Myers water. Global warming will get hotter. Have you heard that? Water shortages are going to get worse. A lot of missions are out there helping parts of the world where they don't even have water. Global food scarcity is going to get more frequent. I mean, the whole Ukraine conflict made us realize how fragile the global food chain is. Global conflicts are going to get bigger and deadlier. Never in history has anybody threatened nuclear warfare as often as Vladimir Putin has said in the last year. I mean, he says it today, this morning. If you guys have time, I know you have a lot of classes and it's Monday and you're not used to everything going on like this, but if you notice, this morning, Putin is arming all of their submarines with the new Poseidon missile, which is an undersea torpedo that goes to the coast of any nation and about 20 miles or 100 miles offshore explodes a thermonuclear explosion, which makes a 1,000-foot high wave. Have you watched any of those end-of-the-world horror movies, you know, where, you know, the big waves come and destroy? I've seen the Statue of Liberty destroyed and the Golden Gate Bridge so many times, you know, all those movies. In fact, when I visited my son in San Francisco, I said, I can't believe that bridge is still there. They fix it so many times. It's been destroyed in all those movies. But his missiles are designed to swamp the first 100 miles of the coast of all the countries that have coastal cities. Well, most of our American population lives along the coast. You ever thought about that? Global conflicts are getting bigger and deadlier. Global hatred of Christ is going to get more personal. Global tracking is more complete. It's unbelievable what you guys live in. Okay, let me just talk through these signs. There are 10 of them, and I'm going to try and get done with them in 42 minutes. No, 32 minutes. That's how long we have left in this class. Okay, number one, and I'm going to talk very rapidly. It's all written down, so you can just listen rapidly. There's an explosion of global travel that you all don't really think about very much. Jesus' favorite prophetic prophet was Daniel. He's the only prophet that Jesus quotes when he preaches about the future. Jesus quotes Daniel. So he's his favorite prophetic prophet. Jesus' favorite prophet, of course, was Isaiah. But in Daniel, this is what it says, "But you, Daniel, shut up the words." He was writing the Bible. "Seal the book until the end. The time of the end, for many will run to and fro, and knowledge shall increase." Let's just talk about the simple meaning of running to and fro. People talk about that. They're running to and fro. 3,000 years ago, Jonah got on a boat very similar to the boat that 2,000 years ago Paul got on, and 500 years ago, Christopher Columbus got on. In fact, things didn't really change until 200 years ago, Ben Franklin got on a very similar wooden boat with sails. We're talking about sailing has travel has been very similar, but 150 years ago here in New York, the steam engine was invented. And everything changed quickly. We went from steam engines to internal combustion, planes, rockets, and now 4 billion people every year fly, and it's going up all the time. How about explosion of knowledge? Knowledge shall increase. We all know Google. We've all heard of nanometer architecture. By the way, I'm so thankful. Did you know in Albany, the Nanotechnology Institute in Albany, we're talking about an hour from here, has the most advanced computer chip development, far surpassing anything even the Chinese have thought of yet, right? I mean, it's kind of fun to live in New York. But you know what it's doing? My phone. I love my phone as an illustration. And this isn't even the newest one. But this one, look at this. My phone has, as Apple describes it, the camera. Powered by a chip that does 11.8 billion transistor-driven computations. They call those teraflops, terabyte processes. Its neural engine is capable of 11 trillion operations per second. So when I was sitting in the back and I took a picture of you all for my wonderful wife. In fact, I'm gonna do 11 teraflops for you right now, because I'm going to do I'm gonna do a pano of all of you and show her what you look like. There, I just ran 11 trillion operations per second. For perspective, 15 years ago, teraflop computing was only done in a computer the size of this building, funded by a government either in Japan, the USA, or the EU. China hadn't even got into it, or they wanted to get into it. And that's now been reduced to my phone. And this isn't even the newest one. You ought to see the new one. I think it's 16 or 18 teraflops. You say, what's a teraflop? Well, it's adjusting all of the data it needs. It's even taken a picture before I started the picture, and after I started, it'll pick the best one, and it'll recolor it, and it'll take out the image stabilization. I mean, I was teaching Galatians and Romans in the city of Rome last November, and my son, who works for one of the social media companies, said, hey, I'm flying over for the weekend to see you. What can I do? And I said, oh, I'd love for you to film me teaching an overview of the course with a great backdrop. He said, okay. So he flew into Rome, visited us, went out for about an hour, walked around, found the most amazing site. It was on the hill where Nero's palace, the Domus Aurea is, and all you see in front of you is the Colosseum. And he said, if we go at 4 p.m., it'll be the golden hour, and the sun will illumine the Colosseum. And he said, and I will film your clip. And I thought he would bring something like that beautiful tripod back there with that gigantic camera on it that they have back there. No. He said, Dad, let me have your phone. I said, I want a tripod. And he said, with the image stabilization, are you kidding? He said, this is better than that. He said, they're developing the cameras quicker in the phones than they are in those monster ones that cost so much. So he stood like that. And after I went too long, after about 9 minutes, he was going, you know, it was hard to hold up the phone. I said, Johnny, it's going to ruin the picture. He said, not with the image stabilization, not with all those neural processing in the core. Well, what has that done, this explosion of knowledge? We now know that airborne plastic pollution is spiraling around the globe. They found plastic, microplastic, on top of the Himalayas. That means that the world is dying. Did you know they're now, last year, a hematologist studying blood took blood out of someone, and for the very first time in history, as he drew the blood specimen and they did the process out of that person's veins, they found nano-sized plastic particles in their bloodstream. It isn't just there's plastic floating in the ocean. It's not just floating in the air. It's inside of us. Did you know that's not healthy? To have blood-borne plastic? Wow. Okay, global explosion of travel, global explosion of knowledge. How about weather gone wild? Look what Jesus said in the same sermon, only Luke's version of it. On the earth, distress of nations, perplexity. The sea and the waves are going to be roaring. And look at verse 26, one of my favorite Greek words describing prophecy. And people's hearts will fail them from fear. and the expectation of those things which are coming on the earth. That's saying people are going to be like this, and they're going to be looking at those clips, and they're going to be looking at the tornadoes, and they're going to be looking at the earthquakes, and they're going to be looking at those tsunamis that are coming, and they're going to be looking at the meteorite showers or whatever they're seeing on their feed. And this word right here, heart failing, do you know what the Greek word, you ought to do whatever you do in Logos and right-click it. The word is apsuko. Suke, like psychology, psychologist, okay? It's your inside spirit. Apo, the Greek preposition, means out from. It means people's life will pop out of them. In other words, they're just going to die of fear on the spot. They're going to apsuko. Wow. This is what the NOAA, National Oceanic and Atmospheric Association, or Administration, I guess it is. They are just charting from 1980 to 2020. The droughts, the freezes, the cyclones, the wildfires, the winter storms, severe storms, the flooding. It's amazing. What did Jesus say? He says that there will be earthquakes and famines and pestilences and signs in the sun and the moon and the stars and perplexity and the sea roaring, and it's going to scare people. Now, watch this. This was just last year. That's a satellite image from the NOAA. Come on, do it again. There we go. Look at this. This is a derecho. This is one of the Great Lakes right there. So that's Chicago right there, and this is Michigan. And this derecho is straight line winds. I was headed to a Word of Life board meeting, and we stopped in Iowa, and we had been driving for an hour toward where we were going, and I said, honey, look at the cornfields are all down. I didn't even know they had this. Like 60 miles of cornfields were all laying down in August. I mean, they couldn't harvest them. They're supposed to harvest them standing up. They were flat completely by that thing. And that was just a blip. Widespread damage to millions of acres of corn and soybeans across central Iowa. Wow. Okay, number four, explosion of global communications. I already told this to you. Revelation 11, it says, and those from the peoples, tribes, tongues, and nations. Who else are there? This is the whole world. You describe the world from first century perspective, by all the peoples, all the tribes, all the tongues, all the nations. Everyone in the world will see something that was not possible until modern times. In fact, it really wasn't possible till, what year did the iPhone start? 07, I think? 09, 07. The first time people had portable electronic devices that received and transmitted video. Look, yesterday, Facebook Live, 4:30 p.m. yesterday, the dark blue are all the people that are looking at video on Facebook. I know, I didn't get WhatsApp, and I didn't get whatever all the other ones are, you know, just Facebook, you know, mostly old people Facebook. But look at this. From New Zealand all the way through the Aleutian Islands and the all the way up here, even in the peninsula of Russia, they're all watching videos. And look at all the green ones. The green ones are people that are transmitting live streaming. Unbelievable. In fact, I think that a lot of the events in Revelation are going to be watched as people are going, and they're filming, you know, the demon coming out of the pit, or they're filming the angel coming down, and it's going to be seen by everybody live. Amazing. And then pandemics. Matthew 24 and Luke 21 talk about global pandemics. We've already gone through the COVID time. Here's our Fort Myers. U.S. man dies after using tap water to rinse his nose. March 2nd. See, I was at Word of Life doing the Bible conference. Here's this brain-eating amoeba. There it is, under a microscope. And there's the guilty carrier. tap water. 97% lethal. Most people have never even heard of that one. You've all heard of Ebola. This brain-eating amoeba, it's called Naegleria fowleri. 97% lethality. It's even more lethal than Ebola. And we're living in a time, I was thinking about that because in January, I don't know, Bonnie and I flew through Orlando. One of my children was there with our grandchildren, so they said, come over, and they bought us a wristband, and we went in to see them, and we were in some part of Disney World, and you know what they were doing? They were spraying water like mist, and the kids were running through it in Orlando. They were running and breathing in water mist at Disney. And just 50 miles from Disney, the brain-eating amoebas are in the tap water. And I thought, would my son let my grandchildren in all that water vapor at Disney if he had any idea that they could get Naegleria fowleri with brain-eating amoebas? Can you imagine how scary that is? How about the explosion of digital money and global tracking? I was speaking, Bonnie and I were invited. We're missionaries, and one thing that I do, what I do here, I also do in other places, and we were invited for 4 years in a row to speak to all the medical missionaries that work in closed countries. There are 65 countries where the gospel is not allowed in. They're either Muslim or totalitarian or uber secular. And so all the missionaries that work there in hospitals, that's how we're reaching all those closed countries, with hospitals, with all Christian doctors, all Christian nurses, all Christian staff, and they're allowed by the host country to do whatever they want on that hospital property for the name of Christ. So they're doing a lot, so it's great. But these people are really beaten down by the repressive cultures and by the darkness and everything else, and so they come out once a year to these big conferences. And I, for 4 years in a row, got to speak to 800 doctors and nurses, so like this whole room full. And they alternate where they meet, Thailand, and then another one that's near Africa. So we do an Asia one, and we do a Europe, kind of a African area one. And I was speaking along to them, and we left the conference, and I was taking my car to get some gas. So we were in Thailand, and I stuck my card in, pulled it out. My phone was in my pocket. I'm in Chiang Mai. Clicked the card, and all of a sudden I felt my phone go. I thought, oh, I hope it's nothing wrong with the kids. And I pulled it out, and my phone had a message from Chase. Now, all I had done is, and instantly, and it said, are you authorizing your card to be used out of the country in Thailand? That's nothing, right? All of you know that happens all the time. This is new. That my credit card went through the system of that gas pump in Chiang Mai, Thailand, up to the ceiling, to the satellite dish, up to a geosynchronous satellite, back down to a receiving satellite somewhere in Omaha, Nebraska, where all American credit card transactions are, you know, kind of finalized. And then it went to Chase, and then it went back there, and then it went up through and back to the gas station, and then it went to Verizon. It was not more than 3 seconds before someone knew right where I was standing with my credit card and knew right where my telephone was and alerted me. Can you imagine what it's going to be like when the Antichrist controls all that? And you can't buy or sell? No one may buy or sell except the one who has the mark of the name of the beast or the number of his name. When we get to chapter 13, we're going to talk about that. It's unfortunate that a whole group of Christendom thought somehow that that had something to do with a vaccination. But we will wait till chapter 13. But you know what is fascinating? A small company made a program that takes the free online available to anyone cell tower signals and triangulates them for you so you can tell. This is not AirTags by Apple. This is a free program that can take Verizon, I don't even know all the carriers, T-Mobile, I don't know the rest of them. You can get their free, public, available logs. There are trillions of them. Of every cell phone has a number, and every cell phone has constant cell tower coordinates. And all that's online and available. And this little app, if you just find out someone's IP address for their phone and plug it into this app in your hand, it will show you on a map everywhere that phone has been instantly. So what this person did is they went outside of Langley, Virginia. Do you know what's in Langley, Virginia? Yeah, the CIA headquarters. And they sat outside and they ran a program to get all of the IPs, didn't know whose they were, of all the phones coming and going, which also there are these big antennas that catch all that. And so they sat there for a day and got all the cars coming in and out of Langley for a week. And then they put on a map where 50 of the phones went after a week. And one went to Istanbul, and one went to Basel, and one went to Zurich, and one went to Tokyo, and one went to Shanghai. And you know what they had just done? They had triangulated all the CIA operatives wherever they were in the world with a free program, a low-cost free program. All that to say, the time of engineering our lives is really blooming. China just launched a new app where citizens can report others for expressing mistaken opinions. Did you know you could be thrown off of social media if you said something wrong about COVID? Can you imagine if you'll be thrown off the airplanes, the trains, and the subways, and the buses if you have a mistaken opinion about religion? Did you know we're mistaken in the world's eyes? What you're learning here is a mistake to the eyes of a secular, humanistic, evolutionary-minded person, that you believe in creation, you believe in redemption, you believe in the exclusivity of the gospel, you believe in the resurrection of Christ. The laws of thermodynamics say that's impossible. So you're unscientific in your beliefs. In China, on your phone, you can just surreptitiously film someone saying something mistaken, and in the app, it'll go right to China, and they'll view it. And once they affirm that it's mistaken, the next time you go to a bus station, the door will not open because they've excluded you from travel. You can't go through a subway turnstile. You can't get on an airplane. You can't get on a train in China if you have a mistaken opinion. Bonnie and I were, I taught there regularly for years. I mean, I started working in China in 1983, before your parents were probably born. And the last time I was there was in 2019, and we walked in. We were going to meet with church planners in Beijing, as we've done for so long, and teach and train and do everything else. And we got in the country, and we were walking like this, and Bonnie wasn't quite with me. She had gone to the ladies' room, and I was still walking, and all of a sudden, 8 men in dark blue outfits came, and they circled me. And I smiled, and they said, come over here. And we walked right back to the counter, and they said, you have to buy a one-way ticket out of here. We know what you do, and you can't do it in our country. And they stood with me, and I said, well, it's not just me, there's her too. Oh, they got Bonnie, brought her right over, and they said, both of you have to leave right now. That's the world we live in. And that's the world that's going to be much worse. Number 7, the global explosion of weaponry, global wars, human death and destruction. Jesus said this. Remember, Jesus does not exaggerate. There'll be great tribulation, such as not been since the beginning of the world to this time, nor ever shall be. And unless those days were shortened, unless he shortened them, nobody would survive. Now that was a hoot. That was funny. Did you know when Jesus said those words and Matthew recorded them, that the only way you could kill people is to see them and shoot an arrow at them, or see them and throw a spear at them, or, you know, do a slingshot and hope it hits them, or, you know, a few other things. I guess the most common way was with a handheld sword to go like this. And whenever you were either throwing or shooting or swording, the other people, if they had any brains, would run in all different directions. So they never got everybody, right? No matter how many legionaries there were, people were always running away and swimming away. Wow. We live in a time now where we have weapon systems. I mean, we had the biggest U.S. Navy war games in 40 years, 2 years ago, to prepare for. Now, this is the British Mail or the Guardian or one of those British papers. I like their artwork. Prepare for, look at what the headline said, World War III. And it said that they were all connected via satellite, so they all were simultaneously seeing the battlefield together. Now, the Ukrainian war showcased something. Remember these thermobaric vacuum bombs the Russians have been using? There's the TOR system shooting it. It goes up, it sprays a little bit of gas, you know, gasoline in the air, ignites it, and that causes a vacuum bomb that sucks the oxygen out of everything, whether it's a bunker or you're down in a drain pipe, and explodes your lungs. So unless you're in a sealed bomb shelter with sealed doors, it kills everything. And then it rains down fire on top of that. I mean, this TOS-1 Buratino has been used with horrific results in the Ukraine, burning and exploding and killing civilian populations. But look at this. The Chinese don't want to be left behind. China's building a second nuclear missile silo field. Look at these are all of their ICBMs they're building in China. That's a satellite photo. And I mean, what used to be just kind of like a joke that, you know, there was a Hiroshima and Nagasaki atomic bomb is now in the news as a possibility on a daily basis. By the way, where's American Biblical End Times? After reading the whole Bible 100 times, I'm old enough. I still haven't convincingly seen the U.S. described or portrayed in any prophetic event in the future. Wow. We'll talk about that when we get to that chapter. By the way, AI, everybody's talking about ChatGPT and all that stuff. Israel operated against Hamas, the world's first AI war. They almost had no soldiers even injured in that last war. They operated total with AI, and they put in all the satellite feeds they'd been watching with all of their drones, everything that was going on, and they sent autonomous, you know, unmanned vehicles to go and knock out all these things. It was the most amazing. It was almost like a video game. And they even had these little things. Look at this. This is a little destroyer launched from the tank. No person on there has everything. Grenade launcher, 50 caliber, all kinds of stuff. Remind me of Revelation. I mean, look at that headline. The countdown to World War III, Russian missile blitz, all-out attack, oil breaks 100. And that was a year ago. That's old news. That's unprecedented news. You know what we found out? The Russians have this Sarmat missile. It travels 4.5 miles per second. That's 9 times faster than a bullet. One Sarmat missile launched from their field could destroy the entire country of France. It's 16 independent multiple re-entry warheads, destroys 250,000 square miles of land, one missile. Oh. You know what else it says in Revelation? During the tribulation, the rest of mankind who were not killed by the plagues wouldn't repent of worshiping demons and idols, and they did not repent of their murders. Do I need to talk about America's headlines? The American Horror Story, 54 mass shootings erupted over the past month. That was, what's the date on that article? I don't know. I mean, that was last year. That's old news. We're seeing murders on an unprecedented scale. Unbelievable. Well, number 8, we have 6 minutes. The explosion of global peace and prosperity materialism. Do you know what's going to bring in the Antichrist? Everybody wants peace and safety. They're going to be so overwhelmed by the plagues and by the dictators and by the weapons of mass destruction and by the decline of the environment. Probably that's going to be the biggest one. We do see in Revelation that unsaved people are called earth dwellers. And that's an interesting construction in Greek. It means earth is their home. Earth, this is everything. Kind of William Shatner saying Mother Earth, that gave us life and gives us reason. Well, look where our world is getting. This is a capitalization of Apple. $2.1 trillion. Just Apple is worth more than the entire Italian economy, the entire Brazilian economy, the entire Canadian economy, the entire Russian economy, the entire Korean, Australian, Spanish, Mexican, and Indian. That's one company. We're living in an unprecedented time of global wealth being concentrated. The $200 trillion of personal wealth is in the hands of only 20% of the people. And those are mostly Western. And those are mostly the richest 1%, by the way, have 48% of all the wealth in the world. And boy, does that make the minor prophets very interesting, what our responsibility is. And then there's the global explosion of hatred for Israel. Jesus said that's what it's going to be like. Zechariah puts it this way, all the nations are going to gather against Israel. Here's a headline, Iran says they're going to strike. This is not even a year ago. They're going to strike the heart of Israel if the Jewish state makes even the slightest move against them. Here's how it's shaping up. This is the new Cold War. We have Russia, Iran, Iraq, Syria, and Lebanon, and Yemen against the UAE. So, you know, basically, it's Shiite against Sunni. And Israel is allied right now with Jordan, but Saudi Arabia last week switched over starting peace talks with Iran. We'll talk more about that in another chapter. Here's the last one before we go. Matthew 24:14, Jesus said, the gospel of the kingdom will be preached in all the world as a witness to all the nations, and then the end will come. Look at this. This is the IMB, International Mission Board. They've identified the little red dots are all the unreached people groups. By the way, when I go to these medical mission things, those people are reaching them. You know how they do it? Franklin Graham gives $5 million. They put a hospital in this most desolate, unreached area. They staff it with Christians. They go out and they start bringing in 100, 200-mile radius, all the sick people. I could tell you story after story about how Muslims see the compassion of Christians and they say, why are you like this? And long-term, they're leading people to Christ because those people have never seen the love of Christ. It's unbelievable what we're living through. So Jesus actually gave us a map of how it all would end. We're going to study the book of Revelation because Jesus introduced the idea of his return in the Lord's Prayer. He outlines it in Matthew 24, and we're going to study all week long, Lord willing, all that he mapped out is coming. And Jesus said we would know that the world is ending when we see the events that we just talked about happening.